Brother Bottrell, I appreciate it very much. Amen. It's good to be here. Let's get into Daniel chapter 10 tonight, if you've got your Bible with you. I know there are many listening by way of live stream and some out in the parking lot as well. And so thankful for you tuning in tonight in Daniel chapter 10. And I want to begin reading just a couple of verses. And I realize that we're reading in the middle of the chapter. We're going to kind of do a summary of the entire chapter tonight. But something that's been on my heart recently for couples and churches and younger couples and middle-aged couples. Maybe the Lord just used this tonight to encourage us as we go through these strange and unusual days in 2021. Follow along. I'll read in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." I want you to notice the words there in about the second phrase, the second sentence of that verse, where the Bible says, "Be strong, yea, be strong." And that's the title, the subject of the message tonight. Be strong, yea, be strong. I guess we all had high hopes that when the calendar turned from 2020 to 2021, things would be less hectic and less crazy. I guess for us at home there in Illinois, maybe it was a bad omen that on January 1st, 2021, we had an ice storm. And I mean, it iced for hours, and I am still recuperating. I live outside of town on about 2 acres, and we're still recuperating, picking up broken limbs, and I mean limbs that big around. We're popping off trees, and it was quite an ice storm. And then, so we started the year like that. Then January 6th happened. I think everybody's familiar with what happened on January 6th. And then a new president was inaugurated, and here we are tonight just in turmoil in our country. And, you know, God knows my heart all through this thing since last March when everything began. I have not wanted to be single-issued as a preacher. I've tried to strive for a balance with messages I've been preaching at home, you know, attempting to encourage the folks and in some ways prepare them. But and I probably, like you, received a lot of information from extreme left to extreme right. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? And it goes without saying, I think, people, that the next several months and years could get interesting. Can I say one thing about that before I get started into the message? There have been times previously when we thought all hope for a free America was gone. Yet somehow, by God's grace, we survived all those years. But now there's something different about today. Things have happened that cause all of us to pause and consider and ask, what is going on? What is going on? And that is exactly what Daniel was doing in chapter 10. You look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible tells us in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. The name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So in this third year of King Cyrus's reign, a truth was revealed to Daniel that covered a long period of time. And this chapter details what took place as that truth was revealed to him. In verses 2 and 3 in the chapter, Daniel was in a state of mourning. Look at it. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So he's in a state of mourning. And his concerns were so great that he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, and he wasn't even washing himself as he normally would have been. He loved Israel. And more so, he loved Israel's God. He knelt 3 times a day in his chamber with his window open. We know that from chapter 6, toward Jerusalem, and prayed, and probably prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, as a young Jewish boy, he would have studied the Psalms, and he would have been taught what David wrote in Psalm 122, verse number 6, where he said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Folks, that's a true verse. That's a good verse. You know, you and I should still pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we should love the nation of Israel. And we should love the Jewish people. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to our world and everything that's happening in it, you know, We don't need to keep our eyes on D.C. or London or Moscow or any other. The place to look is Jerusalem in the Middle East and in Israel there. And so he's probably praying for his country. And, you know, we pray for our country. And Daniel is mourning. And I'm sure that as God's people in some way, like I have, you've been disturbed and mourned over the things that have happened here. It pains us. And it gets in our insides like it did Daniel's. And it affects us like it did him. And there may have been other reasons why Daniel was mourning and was upset. You know, previous chapter 9 tells us that he had come to an understanding by reading the book of Jeremiah about the 70-year captivity in Babylon. And that captivity had come to an end. He's in the third year of Cyrus in chapter 10. You know what happened in the first year of Cyrus? He gave the decree to the Israelites, go rebuild. Go back to Jerusalem. Rebuild your city. Rebuild your nation. And rebuild your temple. And what exciting time that was. And, you know, Daniel probably thought to himself, man, amen, Israel's back on track as a nation and it's on its way, you know, to better times. But then maybe he was a little bit disappointed when only a minority of the Jewish people returned. Most of them stayed in Babylon. They got comfortable there. So only a minority of them returned back to Jerusalem. And when they got back, they struggled. They got the temple foundation laid. And here came adversity. And here came people and stopped. And they stopped the building project. And they were struggling to get back on track. And Daniel's still in Babylon. People have debated about why didn't Daniel go back to Israel? Well, he's probably, by all accounts, in his 90s. It was an arduous journey to go from Babylon back to Jerusalem. I don't know that that's the reason. We're not told the reason. So it's dangerous to speculate to some degree. But it was an arduous journey. When Ezra got ready to lead that group of Jews back from Babylon to Jerusalem, he stopped and he had fasting and prayer for safety for the journey. Because it was a dangerous journey. So Daniel's in Babylon. He's had high hopes that, you know, a majority of the Jewish people would go back and rebuild their city, rebuild their temple, and get the nation moving again. That didn't happen. He's maybe confused, maybe disappointed, maybe disheartened. And all of these things are going through his mind and his heart as he ponders what is next for his nation, his country. Kind of like many of us. So here we are, confused, disappointed, maybe disheartened a little bit about what's going on in our country. And that's where Daniel is here in chapter 10. Now, you get to verses 4 through 9. I'm not going to read those for us tonight for sake of time. But without going into detail, in verses 4 through 9, I believe Daniel experienced a vision of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it left him in a fainted state. When you compare the description here of who Daniel saw in verses 4 through 9 with the Christ that John saw on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, the two, they're almost identical. So I'm convinced that who Daniel sees here is an Old Testament appearance, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to say that when we are disoriented, when we're confused, when we're disheartened, when we're a little bit disappointed about things going on, I'm glad to know that we can still get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened to Daniel here. This glimpse of Christ left Daniel in a very weak condition. And then in verses 10 through 21, an angel comes and delivers a message from God's throne to Daniel. I want to point out three things about that message tonight. First of all, I want you to see that Daniel was greatly beloved. Now look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and he said unto me, look at verse 10, and behold, an angel touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. So folks, in the midst of all the disappointment, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of all the disheartening things happening in Daniel's life concerning his nation, nothing could change the love of God for him. Nothing but nothing could put a dent in the deep, deep love of God for Daniel. And church, can I say tonight that in all the disappointment and confusion that might be going on in our lives right now, everyone who is a child of God is greatly beloved. And there is nothing that can happen on the outside that can change the fact that you and I are deeply loved of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about Romans chapter 8 and the great verses there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I love that statement there. He didn't just say we are conquerors. He said we are more than conquerors. When I think about that statement, I think of my basketball days as a high school player. And we didn't have the best team. And we played inner city Atlanta teams. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I grew up outside the city of Atlanta and went to school just inside the city limits. And we played teams that were far, far more athletic than us and far better than us. And we played College Park, the College Park Rams, on our home floor, and we got beat 100-44. It was 98-44 when they stole the ball. And instead of just being content to beat us 98-44, this 6'8" guy drove to the basket. I'm the only one for the Westwood Vikings on the defensive end. And he leaps over me as I try to defend him, stuffs the ball through the basket. As the buzzer goes off, the ball goes through the net and bounces off my head. And they win 100-44. We didn't just get conquered. We got more than conquered. We got debilitated. Absolutely swamped. And that's what I think of when I think of this verse right here. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And church, can we just stop tonight and realize how much God loves us? And realize that that love will never be tainted. It will never be lessened. It will never be changed. Beloved is a term used about God's people. We are the beloved of God. And there's nothing more encouraging than that. No liberal, no socialist, no communist government can pass any law that changes the love of God for His people. They might take away our freedom, but they cannot take away the deep love that God has for His own. Can I just remind you tonight, if you're a little bit disheartened, if you're a little bit, and I know your pastor hasn't talked about this, so I don't know the condition of the church here, but if you're a little bit disheartened, if you're a little bit just, you know, discouraged by all the events going on in your country right now, can I just remind us tonight, let us never forget the fact that regardless of what is going on around us, nothing can change the fact that we are beloved of our God. Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. But that's not all he said. He went on to say that Daniel was not to fear. Daniel was not to fear. Look at verse number 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Fear not. So after telling him that he was greatly beloved, the angel told Daniel not to fear. And people, that makes all the sense in the world. When we understand and embrace the truth that we are beloved of God. We are beloved of God. We are beloved of God. That should help conquer any fear we have of what man may do to us. I think of 1 John 4:18. Listen to what John wrote. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love, complete love, full love. We need to believe the truth about how perfect and complete God's love is for us, and we need to allow that full and complete love to drive out any fear in us. And here's why. John went on to write, because fear hath torment. Fear torments. And church, God does not want us to live in torment. God wants us to live in the calmness of His perfect and full and complete love. You will live in the torments of anxiety and alarm if you keep your mind on the things of this world. We have to place our thoughts on the love of God for us and for ours. Not just for us, but for ours. I tell you who, in my opinion, this is just in my opinion, I tell you people who are suffering through fear right now are parents with young children. Sometimes grandparents seeing their married children and their grandchildren. And it's like, what is going to happen? We have a young married couple. They have one child. I believe she's like 3 years of age. And the dad of the married daughter told me the other day, my daughter said, "Dad, makes me and my husband wonder if we should have any more children. What's going on in the nation right now, in the world?" You know, she's living in torment. She's living in fear. She's got anxiety and alarm. But here's the thing I think that we need to grasp tonight and remind our children who are married and have children of their own, and any young couples here tonight or listening, here's the thing we have to remember. Look, we've got to put our mind on the truth that God loves your young children more than you do. God loves my grandchildren. My wife and I have been blessed to have 17 and 2 on the way. God loves our grandchildren more than we love them. And in this love of God, this full and complete and perfect love of God, nothing can touch us. Nothing can touch our married children. Nothing can touch the grandchildren that God does not allow to touch us. And when He allows something to touch us in some way, it's for our good and for His glory. I love that song. It's for our good and for His glory. You know, it may sting for the moment, but Paul said, "Those things that sting worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Remember, dear people, this world is temporary. It is but for a moment. And compared to eternity, this world is but a drop in the comprehensive ocean of time. Do not allow the events going on around you to cause you to live in the torment of fear. Set your mind on truth. Place your thoughts on God and His great love, and let the reality of that love cast out fear that can so badly torment you. You know, the Bible says at the end of verse 18, 1 John 4:18, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." If I'm living in fear, there's a disconnect somewhere between me and the love that God has for me. And I will tell you what, the disconnect is not on His end. It never is on His end. It's on ours. So Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. Do not fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So Daniel, you're mourning, you're disturbed, you're disheartened, you're disappointed, maybe you're somewhat discouraged. I want you to remember, first of all, that you are greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. And then I want you to realize that you should not fear. Now let me say a third thing tonight. Daniel was to understand there was more going on than meets the eye. There was more going on than meets the eye. Now, this is in verses 12 and 13. Look at it. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel." Now, this is amazing, folks. "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." You know what he's telling Daniel? He's saying, "Daniel, I know you don't understand everything. You're a little bit confused. You're mourning. You're disheartened. But you need to understand there's more going on here than meets the eye. There are things happening that you can't see." Now, I don't have to remind you people that in Ephesians, Paul said in chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." My, how we have to remind ourselves of that truth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is so easy to fix our attention on flesh and blood. But there is more going on here than meets the eye. Just like there was in Daniel's day. Paul went on to say that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The real world, the real problem, the real war involves more than what's going on between flesh and blood. The real war is being waged between truth and error. The two spirits have gone out into the world, according to 1 John. And that's where the real war is going on. This angel, you see what he tells Daniel? He says, "Daniel, the first day your prayer was made, it was heard in heaven." That's what he said in verse 12. First day. And the first day your prayer was heard, listen in church, the first day his prayer was heard, it was answered. But Daniel didn't know that for 21 days. That's what it says. "I am come for thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So here's Daniel. He's there in Babylon. He's mourning. He's confused. He's disappointed. He's disheartened. He's not eating. He's not drinking. He's not washing himself. What is going on? I don't understand all this. There's more than meets the eye going on here, Daniel. You know, you thought for 3 weeks God had forsaken you and God was not hearing your prayer. No. The first day you prayed, your prayer was heard. And the first day you prayed, your prayer was answered. But it took 21 days to get it to you. Because of satanic warfare. Spiritual warfare. He was detained, the angel was, who came with the answer to Daniel's prayer for 21 days until Michael, the archangel, came and set him free to deliver the message. The answer to his prayer was held up 21 days in spiritual warfare. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. This is no fairy tale. This is not symbolic. This is real. Now listen, if an answered prayer on its way to Daniel could be held up for 21 days, I wonder how long spiritual victories, answers to prayer, can be held up in my life, in your life, because of spiritual warfare. I wonder how long. We must understand, church, there is a world that we cannot see with our natural eyes where truth versus error engages in serious battle. Warfare. So Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. Daniel, don't fear. There's more going on here than meets the eye. You can't see it all with your natural eyes. Now that's the angel's message to Daniel. Look at verse 15. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips." That's an angelic being. "Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows have turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." Do you see what Daniel's response was to this message from the angel? He was left strengthless. He was left breathless. So Daniel was greatly beloved. He was told not to fear. He was made aware that, "Daniel, there's more going on here than meets the eye." And it left him without strength. He knows God loves him. He understands he should not live in fear. He understands the battle is not against flesh and blood. And yet, understanding all that, he's left without strength. Kind of like some of the people in our churches today. You preach to them that they're loved of God. Oh, yeah, amen, I know that. "Don't fear, because fear hath torment." That's right, I don't do that. "And there's more going on here, folks, than meets the eye." Oh, yes, sir, we got that. Yes, sir. Still, I'm discouraged. Still, I don't have any strength. Now, look at what happens in verse 18. This is our verse at the beginning. "Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. So he's visited again. And he strengthened me. And look at what he said, folks, in verse 19. Oh, man, greatly beloved, fear not. Wait a minute. Isn't that what he was just told? He was just told that by the angel that came first. It's the same message. It's the same thing hey, Daniel, hey, look, I know that first visit left you strengthless and breathless, but what I've got for you is this. You're greatly beloved and you shouldn't fear. Okay. Heard that before. Just like some of God's people who come to church to hear a message to help them through these trying times, they come, they listen, they leave thinking. I hear the same things all the time. Read my Bible, pray, God loves me, fear not. Trust the God of heaven. It's the same thing over and over. And still, I'm at my wit's end about what's going on. I don't know what is happening. And then in verse number 19, the angel adds something to his message. And he says, after he says, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Church, you're greatly beloved, and you shouldn't live in fear. There's more going on here than meets the eye. And you know what it may be time to do? It may be time for you and me to be strong. Be strong. Cinch our belts up and stand on our feet and be strong. Wait a minute. Not in our strength, but in the power of God and His might. Be strong, yea, be strong. Daniel, you're greatly beloved. Fear not. Yeah, yeah, I've heard all that before. I'd like to have something that I need that would really help me. Okay, here's something I give to you to help you. Be strong. Yay, yes, be strong. For those of you who think you hear the same things over and over again and you're still left in the same condition, you know what, church? It may just be time for you to hear, be strong, yea, be strong. This is the day when men and women and teenagers and children need to be strong. I'm not going to get political here, but I'm not sure that the worst of this is over. Huffington Post came out with an article a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you read that, that attacked by name a Becca curriculum and Bob Jones curriculum and Accelerated Christian Education, ACE curriculum. Attacked it by name. And said it's the schools using these curriculums, teaching these students that led to the Capitol riots on January 6th. They flipped the narrative on us, folks. We have preached for years that the curriculum in our state universities is what produced all the rioting last summer. They just flipped the narrative on us. And they're checking into how many thousands of schools use homeschools, church schools, private schools, use Becca Bob Jones ACE curriculum. How many do you think it is? Thousands. It's not going away. Well, I don't know what to do. I do. Be strong. Be strong. Well, read your Bible. Every day. Spend time with God. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. It doesn't matter. God's fullness is for all people. All the people of God. Be strong. Yay. Be strong. The day that they had this situation down at the Capitol, I got six kids. All six of them are married. Five of the six couples have children, and the youngest, Cherith, and her husband, Isaiah, are expecting their first baby this June. One of the five dads who has children called me late Wednesday night, and I could tell there was just tension in his voice. Dad, what happened? Where is this going? What about my kids? And I don't think he's the only parent asking that question. And that's when that conversation, the Spirit of God began to move in my heart. We have a bunch of young couples with little children. And I've preached to them about reading their Bibles, and I've preached to them about praying, and I've preached to them about being a witness, and I've preached to them about not only tithing but giving, and I've preached to them about living holy, and I've preached to them about all the good things in God's Word that His people should pay attention to. You know what's left to tell them? Be strong. Be strong. Come on. We're not the first generation of people of God to suffer at the hands of those that hate God. Be strong. Yay. Yay. Be strong. Be strong. Be Spirit-filled. Be full of God's Word. Be strong in His strength, not yours. But be strong. Look, let's quit moaning and groaning and mealy-mouthing and sighing and wringing our hands. And what are we going to do? I tell you what, we're going to grab this book. We're going to grab our prayer list. We're going to get in our seat in the church auditorium. We're going to get in our Sunday school class. We're going to put some tracts in our pocket. And we're going to live holy. And we're going to, by God's grace, stand up and be strong for whatever comes down the road. Be strong. So Daniel, you haven't eaten, you haven't drunk anything for 21 days. You haven't washed yourself. Now listen to me. You're greatly beloved. It's the first thing he said. You are greatly beloved. Let that sink in. You are loved. So don't fear. Fear has torment. God's love, perfect love, full love, casteth out fear. Embrace it. Love it. Enjoy it. Let it drive the fear out of your life. And understand, there's more going on here than meets the eye. And you know what? You need to cinch your belt up a notch. Get on your feet. And be strong. Yay. Be strong. Let's pray together. Father,